Deuteronomy 28, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, and we'll try not to keep you too long, like that Kardashian girl told her fourth husband. And in Deuteronomy 28, we can see something here that I guarantee is going to bless you. If you'll just listen to me now, you got to pay attention. Listen, if you need the nursery, we got one. Sister Patty would be glad to take care of that. She needs some volunteers for the nursery, by the way. Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt be thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the land shall make thee the head, the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above all on, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I have commanded thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Amen. Now we're in a little building. You're going to have to do like me and ignore distractions. That's hard for me to do. I'm kind of ADD. But I want you to get your mind on the Lord. And I just read a passage of Scripture that tells us something that I believe that everybody in here needs to hear. And that is, there is a blessing promised for obedience. There are blessings promised for obedience. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 27, they're about to go into the promised land, and he's telling them, he said, now when you cross the Jordan, this is what you need to do. When you cross that river Jordan, you need to do this. And then he gives them this. And I got thinking about that, and I thought, boy, one day we're going to cross that old river Jordan. We're going to heaven. Amen? Amen? And when we do, we need to be prepared when we get there. Amen? And Moses was preparing them. He wasn't even the one going to take them across, but he was the one preparing them for what they needed to do when they went into the promised land. Now, there's some things we need to do and get ready to go to heaven. If you're going to heaven, you're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there are some things that will help you while you're on your journey, and there's some things that will reward you when you cross that river that we call death and you get into heaven. There's some things that'll help you. But you've got to find them in the Word of God. Most people, they make professions of faith now, and that's as far as they go, Brother Billy. They just get saved, or at least we think they do. We don't even know if that's real. And nothing ever changes. And they come to you and I, and they say, I can't understand why I'm going through this. I can't understand why I'm experiencing that. Well, it could be that they were not prepared for what was coming. So today, all I'm trying to do is get you prepared, okay? You're not in heaven yet. You need to do some things so you can have a blessing on your journey. Amen? Now, there's blessing to obedience. Anytime you obey, there's a blessing. Did you know love produces obedience? Not necessarily understanding. We don't always understand. But love will produce our obedience. We don't even always agree with what God says. And don't sit there and act like you do. You know you don't. We don't always agree with what God says. But love produces obedience. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But he didn't stop there. And they're not going to be grievous. It won't be hard to do. You won't do it spitefully if you love him. Now, I got to think about that. Did you know that obedient children are blessed? Yeah, they are. Yeah, the ones that's disobedient get the whipping, or they should. Amen. And by the way, I believe a few whippings would change a whole lot of things in our country. Amen. And did you know that obedient... Oh, you're not going to like this. I thought about this. Obedient employees are blessed. Did he say that, brother? Obedient employees are blessed. Did you know that... did you know that obedient saints are blessed? A lady asked one day, does God have favorites? I said, sure he does. Those that are obedient are blessed. Those that are not obedient are not blessed. Y'all still with me? Come on, help me. I'm going somewhere here. Did you know loving your parents produces obedience to your parents? Amen. It's a disobedient child that doesn't love the parents. Did you know that loving your job produces obedience? There he goes again. Did you know that loving your husband produces obedience? Oh, man. I bet the darts. The fiery darts of the devil on that one. Amen, Brother Billy?
Amen.
She's back there. You can say it. Go ahead.
Preach it, brother.
I got you back. Did you know that loving your Lord Jesus Christ will produce obedience? You won't be looking for ways to do something wrong, get around the rules. You'll be saying, hey, I'm happy to keep the rules. I love that man. He's my God. Amen. So I got to think about it. Because of our obedience to God, we can look ahead, just like Moses was telling them. You can look ahead. There's some things coming. If you obey him, this is what's coming. And he was going to bless them. So I got to looking ahead and I got to think, what are some things that are coming to the saint if they are obedient to God and try to live for him because they love him? What are some... You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. That's enough. That is enough, but that's not the only promise. There's more promises coming to those who are obedient. Have you ever wondered why some Christians look like... they're not exactly blessed like other Christians? Well, I'll tell you what. You follow those two people and you find the one that loved him the most, he blesses the most. Some of y'all act like you don't like that. I'm sorry. I didn't make the rules. I'm just telling you what he said, okay? It's like two little old kids, the average Baptist church, you know. This one looks over here at them and says, she don't love me like she loves you. Mama loves you more. Well, that's because he didn't get the whipping. Amen? Number one, Jeremiah 31:3. Turn to Jeremiah 31:3. Come on, go quick. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, he drew you because he loved you in the first place. But he also gives us a promise there of God's unfailing love. He loves us. It's not he loves me if I'm good. No, he just loves us. It's not he loves me if I'm white or black or yellow or brown or from up north, and that would be hard, but up from down south, he just loves me. Now, he drew you to salvation because he loved you. Now, he'll keep you because that's what an everlasting unfailing love does. Jude says, now unto him that's able to keep me and present me faultless before his presence, and that's with exceeding joy. And so therefore, not only did I have the promise that he loved me enough to save me, but he is unfailing in his love, and he loves me enough to keep me too. Amen?
Amen.
He'll keep me. Now, God loves me. That's forever settled in heaven. I can't change that. He loved me before I was saved. And now that I am saved, he loves me. But now I've got the promise he's never going to fail me. He's always going to love me. Amen? Now, what's that got to do with obedience? Well, that inspires me to obey him. That doesn't give me a license to sin. That gives me the inspiration not to sin.
Yes, sir.
He loves me. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I fail. He loves me when I'm a success. He loves me, and that motivates me.
Amen.
Yesterday, I went home. My wife said the swimming pool's broke. It's leaking. You buy swimming pools when you got kids, and then they grow up and they leave you with the work, you know. And you and your wife hardly ever get in the stinking thing, but you got it. What you going to do? Amen? Don't get a swimming pool if you don't have to. But anyway, so she said, it's spraying water up there on that pump. And the yard was soaked, you know, and I crawled up under there and had a stream of water about that high spraying out of this little pipe that screwed up into the pump. And I said, man, I about lost my religion. I'm up under, and the only way to fix it is to undo it and try to fix it. And I'm going to get soaking wet because all that water's going to be gushing out on me. And I'm under there, and I'm losing my temper, and I'm losing my patience. And I redid it 3 times, and it still didn't work. I went over to Walmart. I'm going to get something to fix it. I went over there and bought some plumbing stuff, you know, and I'm packing and pushing and doing, and I screw it back up in there, and it didn't work. When I came back from Walmart, I slid up into the yard. My wife said, what is wrong with you? And I got mad. I was just mad. Y'all ever been mad? Just mad. And of course, I took it out on the closest one that was talking. And then after it was all over, I got so convicted, I went to her and apologized. And you know what? She loved me anyway. She loved me anyway. She'd been putting up with that for all those years, and she loved me anyway. It ain't bad as it used to be, but it's still bad sometimes. Amen, Billy Boatwright? Amen. I know you. I'm preaching right over in that corner. And she loved me anyway. Amen? Unfailing love. Divorce is not in the book. It ain't in the Bible. You don't get no divorce. Amen? You endure or you kill them. She said, I don't believe in divorce, but killing might be all right. Amen? Unfailing love. You have kids, and those kids don't always live up to your expectations, and they let you down, and they fail you, but you love them anyway. Amen? Why? Because they're yours. Amen? They're yours. I don't care if they're adopted kids or the neighbor's kids. If they live in your house, they belong to you, and you love them unconditionally. Amen? That doesn't mean you don't get mad at them. It doesn't mean you don't get upset, but it means you love them no matter what. But it doesn't mean you're going to bless them no matter what. Some people's blessed more than others, even though God never fails loving them. He will not reward them as he rewards others. That's sad, ain't it? And now a lot of it I blame on the pulpits of America. Well, we're all sinners. We can't help ourselves. We got sin. No, you should have been in Sunday school. Romans chapter 8 has got a lot more in it than Romans chapter 7. And I guarantee you, you can walk with the Lord. You can walk in the Spirit. It wouldn't be in the book if you couldn't. If you couldn't obey, it wouldn't be in the book. Come on. So I looked at that. But I do. No matter what happens, and I've failed. We've all failed at some time. But we've got the promise of His unfailing love. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never turn His back on me. He'll never disown me. He'll never kick me out of the family. Now, He'll give me a good whipping, according to Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. So then I went to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, of all the people in the world that God loved, and you read the story of the Hebrew people, they were a mess, brother. They were worse than Baptists. They were. And boy, they messed up more than we ever do. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But He loved them anyway, and He still loves them today. And they just celebrated their 70th birthday back in the promised land. And I don't care if every Muslim in the Middle East gets upset or mad. God put them there. God promised the land to them. And God never goes back on His promises. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 9 and 10. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Whoa, my goodness. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, because He's loved me unconditionally, unfailingly, then therefore I've got the guarantee of His sufficient grace. If I'm obedient, He will bring me through anything. Amen? And by the way, when I'm weak, He'll be strong. Yeah, that's right. And matter of fact, He says He gloried in it. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. I glory in my sickness. I glory in my persecutions. I glory in all these things, because when I'm weak, He's strong. He shows up. He shows Himself. He shows His grace when I'm going through that. And because of that, I get more grace and He gets more glory. Amen?
Amen.
Well, preacher, I'm just tired. I can't do it no more. I quit. I've never found that in the Bible anywhere. I've never found where a saint of God quit. Are you listening? You know why? Because when it gets the hardest, that's when He shows up the most. His grace is sufficient. Sometimes I look around at people and the things they're going through, and especially backslidden Baptists, and I think if they only knew how good God is, they'd turn to Him and seek His face, and they'd realize their sin, they'd confess their sin, and then God would pour out His grace on them in such a way they could go through this without all this trouble. I've been to the hospital rooms of people and pray. Hey, by the way, some of them wait till they die before they call you. I've been to the hospital room. People claim they're saved, won't go to church, don't read the Bible, don't live right, and in the last day of their life, they want to get right with God. And if they just stayed right with God, they may not be in that day at that time.
Right. Amen.
Obedience brings blessings. That's what He told children of Israel. He said, I'm going to bless your fields and your flocks. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless your children's children. I'm going to make you strong against your enemies. There's nothing going to be able to stand against you. If they come in one way, I'm going to send them out seven ways. Amen? Now he said, if you obey me, I'm going to do that. Now, do you think that just because we're saved that we can live any old way we want to and God is not going to do anything? I've got the guarantee of His sufficient grace. Now, that doesn't mean I'll never go through trial, tribulation, sickness, persecutions, Paul did, but it means that He'll turn that around for my good and for His glory. Some people never gave God glory till they got sick. They didn't. Some people never gave God glory till the bank went dry. But then others who know about the grace of God and know about trying to live for God and walk in the Spirit, we know, because they don't know, see, they lived in ignorance, we know that the grace of God is sufficient, and we can go through it and come out on the other end and say, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. You can't be a part-time Christian. No more than children of Israel could be part-time children of Israel. It won't work. It won't work. And all you're doing is hurting yourself. And later on, the children of Israel found out about it. They tried to serve idols and God too, and God took the blessings and sent the storms. And they'd get right with God, and He'd send His grace. He had plenty of grace. If they'd been living right to start with, the grace would have been there. But then they have to run back to Him, and then He pours out the grace on them, and they get straightened up, and they live a little while, and then they start serving idols and God too. They'll build them a little temple, a little tabernacle up in the hill somewhere and worship the stars, and God would have to send something on them to bring them back to their knees. But see, we don't have to be that way. We can have a victorious life. I wish you'd been in Sunday school. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, if you will. Look at Psalm 34. Blessing brings obedience, and obedience brings blessings. Yeah. Write that down somewhere, Brother Tom. You're the only one that got it. Psalm 34. Look at verse 9. Psalm 34, verse 9. He said, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there's no want to them that fear Him. Look at verse 12. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? Look at verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Did you know that obedience, it gives us a promise of being provided for. If we obey God, He promises right here, He'll take care of us. Amen? Come on, help me. Yes. If we obey God, He will take care. And I didn't know what he meant when I first got saved. Old Bully Falkenberry, my first pastor, used to say this. And I've said it here many times, but I'm going to say it again. I've never seen a saved, living right, tithing Baptist that needed anything. I didn't say want. A lot of times you want something that you don't need. Amen? Amen. I want a Challenger 592 horsepower, but I don't need it. I'll get my license to it because there's a policeman just heard that. And I want one that'll smoke both the tires at the same time. Amen? Just smoke them. I know y'all wouldn't do that, but that's my carnality in me. I had to fight it every day. But I don't need it, so God doesn't give it to me. So I have a Kia. And if I put enough air in the front tires, they'll spin. Y'all don't understand that. What you laughing at? You got a Jeep. Amen. But I don't need that. You know what I need? I need a car. He gave me one. You know what I need? I need a house. He gave me one. You know what I need? I need a wife that'll put up with me forever. He gave me one. You know what I need? I need children that'll love me. He gave me some children that love me. You know what I need? I need good health to serve Him. He's given me good health to serve Him. I've had a bad back the past few days, but that's my stupidity, not His problem, okay? That's usually the way it is. I need good health. I need wealth. I need to be able to pay my bills. I need to be able to buy groceries. Did you know He does every bit of that? Well, preacher, I work a job. You need health to work a job. He gave you the health to work that job. You need an employer that'll put up with your sorry hide. Amen. He gave you an employer that'll have mercy on you. Anybody else would have fired you by now. Amen. Come on. Ladies, don't get too smug. He gave you a husband. Amen. He gave you a husband to love you and take care of you. Amen. You wanted, what's that guy? I don't even know him anymore. You wanted some movie star with the long locks, you know, flowing, and he could play the saxophone. But that's not what you needed, amen? You needed a man, amen? You needed a real man. What's going on around here? You ladies ain't backing me up on this now. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you'll love him, if you'll serve him, if you'll obey him, he'll give you what you need. And by the way, anything outside of that may just be lust for things of the world. Amen? Did you know, David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread in the streets. Your children be taken care of if you obey him. And you love him. He's given us that promise. Obedience brings provision. I'll give you an example. Some of you got older children. And you never would admit it, but you've helped some more than you helped others. Because those some were more obedient. And you helped them more. Amen? Now, you listen to me. As a Christian, I don't have to worry about anything. As long as I obey the Lord, keep short accounts with God. That means if you sin, confess it, turn from it, get it under the blood. Keep short accounts with God. God will take care of you.
Amen.
Some of us older folks, we remember when it was hard. Y'all look at us now, y'all think, boy, y'all have always had it made. No, we didn't. No. Some of you older folks say amen. We didn't have it easy. We struggled. We went without. We sacrificed. Amen?
Amen.
And then God found us and he started taking care of us because we were too ignorant to take care of ourselves.
Amen.
We wanted to. Pastor came to my house while I was saved. Preacher Falkenberry, he sat down. I said, Preacher, I don't understand it. I'm working third shift. I'm working 60 hours a week. I still can't pay my bills. He said, Son, you're putting money in a bag with a hole in it. He said, everything you got is going out the bottom because God's not in it. He said, if you'll come to the Lord, he'll take care of you and you won't have to work all those hours. You won't have to worry about having your needs met. God will meet your needs and he'll make a little bit go a long way. If you obey him. Philippians chapter 1. I'm just about through. Philippians chapter 1. Listen to me. I'm just trying to tell you. Blessing promised for obedience. Obedience brings blessing. When was the last time you whipped one of your kids for doing something good? You don't whip your kids for doing good. And God doesn't whip his children for doing good. You reward good. You punish wrong. Amen? Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Most of you already know it. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Did you know one day everybody in this room is going to stand before a holy God? Everybody, lost and saved. We're going to stand before a holy God. Now, the Apostle Paul was looking forward to standing before the Lord. We fear death. Most people fear death. Now, as Christians, we fear it because we've never done that before. I've never been down that road, and I don't know anybody other than the Lord that's went down and come back to tell me anything about it. But we fear the unknown of death. But when we get to the time of death, we will rejoice in finishing the race and going to heaven.
Amen.
I really think that with the drugs nowadays, we don't hear the testimonies that we used to hear. They're so drugged up when they die now, they're already unconscious and half dead. I think probably the painkillers contribute as much to their death as the disease does. But it used to be, people would be dying, they'd give testimonies while they were dying. And some would see heaven, they'd see angels, they'd see loved ones that went on before. You ever heard those kind of stories? You don't hear them much anymore. Others would scream and holler in agony and pain. And read one where one man said, "Pull my feet out of the fire. Pull my feet out of the fire. I'm in hell." And then he died. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, said, the first time he tried to die, they gave him a shot of adrenaline in his heart and got him back. And he told his wife, he said, "Honey, don't let them do that anymore. I saw our daughter." They had a daughter that died when she was 12 years old. And he said, "I saw her. I think her name was Elizabeth." And said, "She's beautiful. Don't let them do that anymore. I saw heaven." And so the next time they come in there to give him a shot, and she stopped them. And he said, this is what he said. He said, "Heaven is descending, and I am ascending."
Yes.
And he closed his eyes.
Obedience produces that kind of death. You want to find somebody screaming and hollering and hanging on to life to the very last second is... that's the person that's out of the will of God.
That's right.
Yep. And they're not fearing so much death now. They see death. They're fearing God. They're going to stand before a holy God and give account for the deeds done in the body. And of course, if you don't know Him, that'd be a terrible thing. But if you did know Him and you were not obedient, then it would still be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God. Your obedience will produce you an easy crossing to the other side.
Moses said, "Now listen, y'all fixing to cross the Jordan. And when you get over there, God's going to have it cleared out for you. The houses are empty. The land's empty. Go in and possess it. It's all yours. God's going to drive out the inhabitants. You don't have to worry about that. You won't have to fight. I'll take care of it. And not only that, but I'm going to bless your flocks, and I'm going to bless your children, and I'm going to bless everything about you if you obey me, if you keep my commandments. This is what I'm going to do." So just the opposite of that would be, if you don't keep my commandments, I'm not going to do it.
Psalm 34:16 again. "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth."
Did you know obedience produces a heritage? Some of you right now, you talk about your grandma, your grandpa, or your mom or your daddy, their godliness and their godly living and their good living and trying to be a good Christian and all that. You talk about that. That's the heritage they left you. That's their testimony they left behind. Because God was good to them and you saw it. But you don't hear that much about the parents and the grandparents of people who were wicked. Nobody wants to remember them. They don't say, "My dad was a wonderful man, he abused me." They don't say, "My mama was a wonderful woman, she griped and complained all the time, cussed and fussed." They don't say, "Boy, my grandpa was a great man, he drank a quart of liquor a day." No, sir. You're ashamed of that. Nobody remembers those people. One generation from now, nobody, even though they live, because people want to forget them. You don't hear people go to their funeral and say, "This was a great man. He snorted coke every day. This is a great woman. She had five husbands. One she was living with wasn't her husband." No, sir. You don't hear that kind of stuff. Those people will be forgotten. Before one generation passes away, nobody will visit their graveside. Nobody will put flowers on their grave. Nobody will have loving memories of them. Their memory will not live on. But godly people that are obedient to the Lord and try their best to serve the Lord, when they pass, people get up and say, "That's my mama. I'm proud of my mama. She loved Jesus. She took me to church. She took me to Sunday school. Daddy didn't want to go, and she did right anyway."
And then the grandkids will grow up and say, Grandma took care of us. She loved the Lord. She lived right. She read her Bible. She prayed. She taught me about Jesus. And I got saved because of Grandma. And that'll be remembered generations from now. And people will go to her grave and put flowers on her grave and have tears and have wonderful memories of this person. Obedience brings that. Disobedience ends. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Listen to me, when we were young, we thought there were some people that were really cool. They did the most that they were not supposed to do, and they drank the most, and they smoked the most, and they cussed the most, and they did all these things. And we thought they were so cool when we were teenagers, but now we've grown up and we've gotten saved by the grace of God, and we look back on those people, we say, he was crazy. He cut his life short.
Right.
He died young. And we thought he was cool. He wasn't cool. He was crazy. He was wicked, and he was crazy. Is rebellious. But then we look back on those little old kids that minded their business, did their homework, graduated high school, went to college. We made fun of them. We called them nerds and everything else, you know. And we hurt their feelings. And now we look at them and we say, they knew what they were doing. They did it right. And they've got successful families and they've got successful businesses. And those are the ones we made fun of. You see, this world's against right. Did you hear me?
Yes. Amen.
This world's against right.
Amen.
But God is for right.
Amen.
This world is against obedience to God. But God is all about obedience to God. He wants to bless us. He wants to supply our needs. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have love. He makes it available. And now listen to this. If you don't have it, it's because you're walking away from it. You made the choice not to receive what he had by obeying him.
Amen.
Number one, obey him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if you don't get saved, it's not because God did that to you. It's because you did that to you. God doesn't send anybody to hell. They send themselves by disobeying the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if your house goes to hell, it's because you didn't get saved. The last part of that verse says, and their house. Now you got saved. As a Christian, if you're not being blessed by God, it's because you're making some bad choices that God cannot bless. And you knew you were making a bad choice when you did it because the Holy Spirit living in you gave you that thought. Maybe you better not do this. And we all make stupid mistakes when we follow the flesh. But we're getting ready to cross the river, folks. We're getting ready to go to the other side.
Amen.
And when I get over there, I want a full reward.
Amen.
I don't want to be saved yet so as by fire. I don't want to be saved by the skin of my teeth.
Amen.
I don't want to go drag it in. I want to be the saints that come marching in.
Amen.
I want God to be pleased with me.
Amen.
Now, just like any child, sometimes is disobedient and fails their parents. I've been disobedient and failed my Father in heaven.
Amen.
But I don't let it stay that way. Boy, I'll run somewhere and get on my face and I'll say, God, I knew what I was doing when I did that. I knew I shouldn't do it. God, help me. God, forgive me. I want to be better. I want to be a good child of God. And God says, get up. You got it. I just covered it with the blood of Jesus. That's all you got to do. And then I get up and next time it's easier to obey. And pretty soon that one particular sin won't even bother me no more because I'll be done confessed it and got up so many times that he's delivered me from it and I can march over into, I can march across the Jordan River into the Holy Land victorious. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and my commandments are not grievous. Disobedience doesn't have any assurances. that produce peace or happiness. You listen, I'm through. I want to meddle for just a minute, okay? Disobedient children are the unhappiest children in the family. Parents, is that true? That kid cries and whines and goes on all the time and he doesn't know why. And God gave him parents to tell him why. Look, if you quit being so disobedient and disagreeable and do what you're supposed to do, you won't be miserable. That little boy walked in that school with that gun and started shooting people. And it's happened over and over and over. But I got news for you. It didn't happen that day. That boy has lived a life of disobedience and he was miserable and he was unhappy. And if he'd had some Christian parents to put him in the place he ought to have been in sometime and gave him a few whippings and straightened him up, that's what God gave him parents for. It might never happen. I'd say it wouldn't happen. If you've got saved by the grace of God, things like this will stop happening when people quit being disobedient. They're miserable people. Happy people are people who are obedient people. You go to school, that kid you call a nerd, they're having a good time. And the reason you call them a nerd is because you're not happy and you wonder why they're happy and you're not. And the reason you're not is because you're disobedient. And the reason they are is because they're obedient. And nobody's having to whip them or fuss at them every day. They're going right along and having a good time. Your marriage won't have peace or happiness as long as one of you is disobedient or both of you. Come on, help me. And those of us that save, you know what? God's not going to let us be a brat. He's not going to let us live any old way we want to because He knows we'll be miserable if we do that. The most miserable Christians that cause the most trouble in churches are those who are disobedient to God and they can't be happy, so they criticize and complain about everybody and everything else because they're the problem. But they won't look no farther than their face. They just look at everybody else. And they're miserable. The happiest Christians are those who are in the perfect will of God, and when they fail and fall, they admit it, ask people to forgive them, ask God to forgive them, and they get up and start all over. A fellow came to me one Sunday after church. He said, "Preacher, I'm tired of this." I said, "What?" He said, "You preaching at me every Sunday. You preach at me." He was serious. He said, "You preach right at me every Sunday. You're looking at me when you preach, preacher." I said, "You give me more credit than I'm due." I said, "I'm preaching to about 200 people every Sunday. And you think I spend hours studying just for you?" I said, "I'm trying to help everybody in there. And by the way, I wasn't preaching against anything today." But everything he heard was against him. He was miserable. He ended up leaving church. Him and his wife left church. Said they couldn't sit under my preaching. And then the last I knew, they don't even go to church. I won't go to heaven victorious. I was raised wrong. Some of you wasn't. I was raised wrong. I am a rebel. I am. I don't like it anymore. I used to like it. I rode up and down Main Street in Lancaster when I was a teenager in that 71 Demon. That was the name of my car, Demon. And I had a rebel flag draped over that back seat. And I had it jacked up in the back like that so everybody could see it going down the road. I was a rebel. Hey, I was raised that way, but let me tell you something. I got saved by the grace of God, and ever since that day, His Spirit moved in me. And look, He convicts me every time I sin. And I can't get away with nothing anymore without Him speaking to me. Thank God. Hallelujah. Preach right at me, preacher. Amen. Over here, preach at me. I went to a camp meeting one time. This guy got up there as a preacher that played the guitar and sang and preached at the same time. Black man. And Sadler. And he got up there and he walks up and down the aisles while he's preaching. He'll pluck that guitar and sing a little bit, then he'll preach, then he'll sing, then he'll preach. And I got to crying. God got over me, all over me. I don't even know what he was preaching about. But there, I was guilty of something. God got all over me. I got to crying uncontrolled. But he saw me from the platform. He took that guitar and he pointed at me. He said, pour it right there, Lord. Pour it right there. Pour it on him, Lord. I said, amen. Pour it on me, Lord. I don't want God to quit dealing with me.
Amen.
I don't want God to leave me alone. Because see, after he whips me, he comforts me. He'll hug me and say, I love you, son, or I wouldn't even whip you. I wouldn't go through all this trouble if I didn't love you. Come over here and let's sit on my lap a little while. Let me love on you. And that produces more obedience. Are you happy today? I mean, do you have peace in your soul? If you don't, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you don't know God. Listen, God doesn't take care of the devil's children. And he doesn't whip the devil's children. He doesn't provide for the devil's children. And if you are saved, maybe today things are going wrong. Maybe you'll look at yourself. Do an inventory. Am I obedient here? Have I been saved? Have I been baptized? Have I joined the church? Am I faithful to it? Do I read my Bible? Do I pray? Do I love others as I want them to love me? When I sin, do I confess it and ask God to forgive me and deliver me? Do an inventory. You'll find out what's wrong. Physician, heal thyself. We're getting ready to cross the river. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I know it's the 70th birthday of Israel being refounded. I know the Bible says that generation that came back to Israel, that generation would not pass away before Jesus comes back. 70 years is a generation in the Bible. 70 years. I don't know everything that means, but it kind of gives me a little hope I might be alive when he comes. This is that generation. This is the generation at the end of that 70 years. Now, if you're obedient, you'll look up and say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. If you're disobedient, you'll say, boy, I don't want him to come today. Do an inventory. Judge yourself. I'm not judging you. Let's stand. Father, we're getting ready to cross the Jordan.